On the main drag of King's Cross, there's a lot of colour, noise, and even life. It's Sydney's historic red light district, and while most of the locals will tell you it used to be much wilder and that the area's gone tame, there's still plenty of action hanging around. But I want to take you away from the colour, inside one of the most bland-looking shop fronts on Darling Street, because it's a unique place. In fact, for a long time, there was nowhere else in the Southern Hemisphere like it. It's a medically supervised injecting centre. Just before we dive in, if you don't know what a medically supervised injecting centre is, it's essentially the centres facilitate the use of illicit substances, allowing people who bring their drugs to such centres to be monitored by health professionals, nurses, and even doctors.
So back in the 1990s in King's Cross, there was really an epidemic of heroin and an epidemic of overdose deaths as a result. And we got to the point in 1999 where three people a day across this country were dying of accidental heroin overdose.
That was Marianne Jauncey. She's now the medical director of the Supervised Injecting Centre. And as she tells it, the story of how this colourless building came into being, it's a journey in of itself.
There was a great degree of distress and uproar as a result of that. And one of the things that the then Premier, Bob Carr, who was facing an election a few months later, said is, rather than a knee-jerk response, he said, if I'm re-elected, I will close Parliament for 5 days and I will hold a drug summit and I will bring experts from all around the country, not just the doctors and the nurses and the counsellors and the social workers, but the parents and the police and people directly affected by drug issues.
So the drug summit comes at a time where there were no safe injecting centres in Australia. In fact, there were none in any predominantly English-speaking countries. But at this point, the government is actually giving people safe injecting kits and clean needles. And Marianne argued, here is where the problem emerged.
The reality is that we, through our government funding, provide a clean needle knowingly to somebody who is an injecting drug user on the full understanding that they will use that equipment for the purposes of an illegal action. And we provide that equipment in order to prevent an epidemic of HIV and hepatitis C. And Australia is lauded internationally for being a leader in preventing an epidemic of HIV. And yet, the legal situation as it stands in our country is that I, as a doctor, provide you with a needle and then I tell you to go away. The law prevents me from actually physically sitting by you while you do what I know you're going to do, which is use that needle and inject a drug into your arm. I know you're going to do that. And yet the law demands that I turn you away into the shadows, into the streets, away from help, away from care, in order to be a good citizen and, you know, for me to follow the law. This is an absolute failure, I believe, in our duty of care to some of our most marginalised citizens. Because if we are prepared to provide the needle, the very least we can do is be prepared to provide the care that goes with it, knowing they do not and never have to die from an overdose.
So, after the drug summit in 1999, the centre opens. 2001. Two whole years after the drug summit recommended that this facility be opened under a trial period.
So it was, for me working in King's Cross at the area, it was an extraordinary time because it allowed for a shift in people's thinking and as a result a shift in policy.
Across the world, in the more than 100 injecting centres that have taken millions of visits, there's actually been zero fatal overdoses. Despite this data, the media representation hasn't always been the kindest. Here's an excerpt from an opinion column from the Daily Telegraph.
The room promises a friendly environment for drug users in between robbing houses and being prostitutes.
So what do other experts think? Well, adjunct professor at the National Drug Institute, Nicole Lee, argues such centres actually work.
There certainly should be more of them because they do, you know, it's been demonstrated that they do reduce harm.
Despite the research supporting injecting centres and their effectiveness, recently in Melbourne, a debate has circulated as to whether or not a supervised injecting centre trial that's underway in Richmond should be discontinued. Part of the argument predicated against it was on a survey of police in the local area who believed crime had gone up. However, data from the Crime Statistic Agency actually showed
the total number of offences in Richmond dropped from 2,529 to 2,198 during the first 6 months of the trial, and a drop in drug-related offences in Richmond from 258 in the first half of 2018 compared to 184 in the second half of last year.
Whether or not the trial continues in Melbourne doesn't matter much to 20-year-old Jack, who lives in Perth.
I'm a middle-class kid with a heroin addiction. No one wants to talk about that.
Jack is 3,000 kilometres away from the nearest injecting centre in Australia. And when asked if he supports supervised injecting centres, he told me this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I wouldn't use it myself, but they're a great idea because they just save lives and save the public health system money by not having to respond to overdoses. It's a win-win for everyone. Who doesn't want that?
At the end of the day, though, it doesn't matter whether or not Jack supports these centres, because everywhere in Australia, except for King's Cross and Richmond, there isn't a place for people to have health professionals ensure that overdoses don't end up being fatal. And that fact, it's harrowing for people like Marianne Jauncey, who are at the coalface of harm minimisation.
And at the end of the day, there is an element of crystal ball gazing, but I guess we know that there's been more than 8,100 overdoses that have been managed successfully by the staff. There has not been a single overdose death. There's never been a death associated with the centre. And indeed, around the world, there's now about 115 supervised injecting facilities and there's never been an overdose death anywhere. So it beggars belief to suggest anything other than clearly these services save people's lives. Clearly, you do not need to die of an overdose if you visit such a centre.
Mm-hmm.